Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn or two. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the doors being open. It was a sobering thought, Lord, across the town to see so many churches closed and know that so many people are not having the opportunity to be out, just to fellowship, to sing, to just join together, Lord, around your word. And I pray you, Father, for all of these souls, Lord, and ourselves as well, the brothers and sisters in Christ right the way across the world. Put your good hand upon us, Lord, and enable us and strengthen us and edify us, I pray. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and we do pray for those that couldn't be here, for Pat and Steve, for Esther, for Frank, for all those that have been and gone, Lord, and we're just thinking of Leonard as well, and for the folks in the Maboy Road and Brigade and Clondermot that still get the CDs, I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon each and every one of them, ourselves included. Bless our time around your word and the songs, Lord. I pray you just lead us through the service and prepare us, Lord, as we just gather together. We're looking for you to do something for us today, Lord. Please open our understanding, or please just speak to us through a song. Encourage us and strengthen us. Help us to thread the needle, Lord. We love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be mostly out of the red book today, because the pianist, that is my wife, is a bit indisposed, so we appreciate the prayers over the last day or two, but she is going to be taking it easy today and hopefully back in the saddle on Wednesday. Shows you how far along we got, and I haven't even turned the amp or anything on. Hymn number 173, we'll begin with that. Love Lifted Me. Anybody has a hymn they'd like to share with us this morning, I am more than happy to hear it.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. The master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him be. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be, be saved today. Love lifted me. Yeah. nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Good start. 259 will be our next one. Has anybody got a favorite?
146.
Shelter in the time of storm. That'll do. We'll sing that one next. Well, after 259. 146. There's another man. Are you good to read for us this morning, Norman? Amen. Come on, you ahead.
This morning's reading is from John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I prayed for them, I prayed for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and they may be one as we are. Whilst I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, and they may also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, and they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and they may be one, even as they are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen.
All right, thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve, for the suggestion. I think it's thank you, Steve, for the suggestion, is it? You may have noticed that there was no new prayer list for today. That's Monica's fault. It's nothing to do with me. It was no. We came to a decision on, was it Friday night? So we didn't do an updated prayer list, but I would like to obviously, thank you very much for your prayers. There was a lot of people praying for Monica. Things went very, very smoothly, but it still knocked her for a bit of a loop. She is on, is it light duties until about Tuesday evening or Wednesday? So please do pray for that. There's still, even though there's no bandages that you see, there's still a cauterization to heal up in her left eye. So please do pray. Continue to pray about that. I appreciate your prayers as well. I would also ask that you would remember the Diamond family at this time, that lady that was killed in the house fire, literally just across the Fahan there, is connected to Carol Diamond, whose name you will have heard in many services for prayers. Carol and Harry and Marie, that was the sister of her dad. So please do pray for her. A niece of her dad, I think it was. It was a cousin of Carol. So please pray for the Diamond family at this time too. Miss Pat and Steve and Esther and Leonard and Frank, we look forward to seeing as many of them back as possible, Lord willing, and all of those things. But do keep praying for them. We live in difficult days, like I said in the prayers. We left the house early to get things organized with, I feel like a bird with a broken wing with Monica the way she is right now, and I'm having to step in and do a few more things, and I pushed on so fast we actually left the house about 5-10 minutes early this morning. So we took a run across the town, and Carlisle Road Presbyterian Church is shut, and the Methodist Church on Carlisle Road is shut as well. In fact, even the Methodist up by the end of the new bridge was closed too. It was dead as far as, well, if you'll forgive the expression, it was dead as regarding the churches. I think the Free Church is opened in the town, but I don't even know, is the Baptist Church open in the town? So there are very few places that are open to give people a wee chivy on, or a wee bit of encouragement, or a wee bit of wisdom. You need to be much in prayer about that. I think the next big siege of Christianity is coming whenever things, in quotes, settle down. So be much in prayer about that. Amen. I really can't think of anything else. It's been an interesting day or two. Monica discovered that I could work a toaster and a frying pan and even the oven. And there's a few extra duties for me. Is there anything else that we would need to be thinking on or praying about? Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. We received a letter, a communique back since from the Presbyterian Church. Now, I must have received it, I think, maybe on Friday evening. Never got a chance to answer it, but they said that they were going to have to go back to the Kirk Session. I'll print them out and bring them in. You can have a look at them and see. But they were asking for my evaluation of the property, which I will have to make a copy of and email off to them. So do pray for Robin Young. He's the minister in Everington Presbyterian, that we would get a correct valuation and proper deal, bargain. You know what I mean anyway, as far as paying for the land goes. So please do remember that. Please do remember people's private prayer requests. We all have them. I just kept a ring around everybody's name. I'm assuming still private prayer requests out and about there. Yeah, so please do pray about that. I would ask as well that Christy is supposed to be getting married in the middle of May, which is only like 2 months, and isn't it? It's only like 2 months away. Yep, so, and there's still things up in the air as regards travel and one thing and another, and would ask that you would remember that for his PhD and for his work and for the service he carries out for Bethel on a Sunday evening. He doesn't just magic up notes out of thin air, and he doesn't just whip them down in 5 minutes before he heads out to church. So please do pray about that too. I think we're just about done. Is there anything else? Oh yes, happy Mother's Day. I would love to say I have a specially prepared Mother's Day service, but I don't. Not service, but sermon. I don't. Has anybody been across the town? Did they see all the flowers and daffodils and bunting that they have up on Carlisle Road and Shipkey Street and in the Diamond? I'm assuming that's for Mother's Day. I can't really think of any other reason why they would tie huge plastic daffodils to lampposts. So should have remembered that, but happy Mother's Day, Lynn. You're very welcome. And to whomever else might be listening to this online or at home or wherever. I think that's about that. Amen. Right. Any thanks? Any good news? I remember getting my eyes open one day when I went to the doctor. He says, "Oh, you're 50, Mr. Bradfield. You need this, 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 and this done." And before you know it, I was in for blood tests and who knows what else. But yes, indeed. We're glad to hear that. There's been a lot of doctor's appointments here in the past few weeks. We're glad of them, even though sometimes we feel like wringing their necks, but we're glad of them whenever the rubber meets the road. So we'll pray, and then we will continue. Would you lead us, Christy, please, if you would?
Save all souls, Lord, amongst our family and friends, and even the strangers in our city. Be with our country's leaders, Lord. Help Israel at this time. Be with them. And Lord, remember the missionaries to provide their needs in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Don't forget Francis Cosgrave and his family as well there in the States at the moment, aren't they? Please do remember them. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Has anybody got another? Christy, you look like you've got one. Well, with my soul, I was just looking at it there and thinking, I wonder if somebody picked that. Amen. 145, it is well with my soul. And I pray this morning that it is.
When peace.
Away and take your Bibles out this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Jeremiah with me. Jeremiah chapter 12. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, there we go, just after Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 12. We're going to begin, we're just going to read, there's only 17 verses in this portion of God's Word. I'd like to read them all. And I'd like to take verse number 5 as our text this morning and speak on the subject of, are you ready? Are you ready? Jeremiah chapter 12. It is good to see you. I've already made mention about my concern for the church or Christianity in Northern Ireland this morning. It is important that you make a point of worshipping and praising God and taking time aside from the world to do that. The Lord honoured his people for generations and punished them for, gener- for observing the Sabbath, for taking a day to worship and praise him, and punish them for generations too whenever they refuse to do that. So it is worth our while, mentally, physically, spiritually, to spend time in the presence of God. And then if it's good for us and if it's in our hearts, it's going to come out and it's going to be good for those around and about us as well. Right. Jeremiah 12, beginning at verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they've taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Excuse me. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds around about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbours that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return, and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." Verse number 5 is our text. We're speaking on the subject, Lord willing, of "Are you ready?" Christy, or, well, sorry, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for giving us the strength and the wherewithal to come into your presence tonight, Lord. We want for love, Lord, this as we come to seek your word through the printed word of the Bible, Lord. And thank you for the Bible. Thank you for some of the rights and privileges that you've provided for us in this land of ours, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the best that you've given us in this land that we can come and, Lord, learn from the Bible, Lord. Read the Bible in our own native tongue, Lord. Give us to say, Lord, that the people came out of the of God, Lord, bless and keep them, Mr. Optimum, physically, mentally, and especially, Lord, today, also, Lord, both the McMahon family, help them, Lord, and convict them of their sins, Lord, and bring them to the truth, Lord, across the table, for their sins, Lord. Give us to the legs, Lord, and the condition, Lord, help her, Lord, each of them, and just comfort, Lord, and healer and provide for our Lord, and bless her also, Lord, and Mr. Hunt also on her as well. With Stephen Pat, Lord, with Pat and her diabetes and Stephen's diabetes also, Lord, help him, Lord, bring push the lead, Lord, and through the CD ministry, Lord, also, Lord, and through and Lord, bless him and keep him, Lord, and provide for him. And with Stephen, his faith and his foot and his leg, Lord, heal him, Lord, and provide for him and keep him, Lord, also, Lord. With the CD ministry, Lord, is out there, Lord, use it to control and to bring people close to thee, Lord, and Lord, even Lord, bless it to people's hearts, and use it to convict people of the sins and save them from their sins, Lord, that they may put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, save them from their sins also, Lord. For this day, Lord, with Helena and Shauna, Lord, help them also, Lord, and Lord, pray for them also, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, and help them in their physical firmness, Lord, and bring them close to thee and save them from their sins. For this day, Lord, with Mark as he comes to preach, Lord, give us the Spirit, Lord, and Lord, help us, Lord, and guide us for the word. And bless us throughout this day for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Now, there's a little bit of a story behind this message this evening, or this morning, and that is that our text, which I'll read now, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? That was actually up on a calendar held by a magnet to the side of the fridge in the kitchen, and I noted it once or twice on the way past. But I was doing my personal devotions in Isaiah and then finished there and moved on to Jeremiah and read it again. And as I read it, I thought, you know what? Whenever a verse of scripture comes up twice in two different places, notably, and gets your attention, there must be some reason for it. Maybe it was for me, but I'm going to share it with all of you today, and I hope it is a help with you, or for you, sorry. As you know, the book of Jeremiah is not a very happy book. Jeremiah, as we've mentioned many times, was called the weeping prophet. He had a great compassion for his people, the children of Israel, the people of God. He knew, and it was put heavy upon his heart by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord God Almighty, and by, supposed being the de facto high priest for the people back in the day, just how close to the wind the children of Israel were sailing in their worship and praising and obeying of God. And many, many times the Lord gave him the words to say, as we see here, and said, look, and for instance, and we'll probably make mention it again, in verse 16, where God said, if you put as much effort into worshiping me and praising me as you do into worshiping all the other false gods out there, my goodness, I would bless you. I would make you what you used to be, basically a feared, world-renowned, unstoppable fighting force. I would do that for you. And he said that many times. So we're going to look at this morning, this whole chapter. We'll do a very, very quick run through, and then I want to spend a little bit of time on verse number 5. And our chapter opens this morning with a question. And it is the same question that the people under the throne of God in heaven during the tribulation and great tribulation, those people that were beheaded for the cause of Christ, it's the same question that they will ask. And that is, how long are you going to do nothing about what's going on in the world? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? No matter what they do, they seem to be getting on. They even seem to be flourishing. I like the end of verse number 2 where it says, you're near in their mouth but far from their reins. In other words, your name is mentioned a lot, but that's as far as it goes. It doesn't direct their lives. It doesn't constrain them from bad decisions. It doesn't encourage them out to church. In other words, they talk a lot about God, but they never actually put into practice. Now, I got to thinking that maybe that was more about taking the Lord's name in vain and using his name improperly. But anyway, Jeremiah asks, how long is it going to be like that? And do folks not know that there's consequences? There's real severe life-altering and sometimes even life-ending consequences for rebelling against the will of God. But having said that, each one of us is here today because God is not in the business of visiting prompt consequences upon us. God is here to give us a second chance. There's a wee verse in the New Testament that says if the word of God, if the punishment for God's commands basically were visited upon us as soon as we broke God's commands, there'd none of us be able to stand. All of us would be dead. And on the one hand, whenever you are on the Lord's side and you see so many, it is literally like a war with millions. You thought the Holocaust was bad, and it was. It was awful with 6 million Jews being murdered by the Germany. There is a war with a much greater toll. There is a war on the unborn. There's a war on mankind himself. And it's not measured in millions of deaths. It's measured in billions of deaths. Because that's the way, that is the casualty rate. It says there is a straight and a narrow road, and there's only going to be a few that find it. Those are the saved souls. But there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. And I honestly don't think that the percentage of saved souls in Northern Ireland is much above 1% for all that we're supposed to be a Christian island. I would love to be proved wrong, but that gives us about maybe 20,000 saved souls in Northern Ireland in a population of about 2 million. And that might even be more optimistic than what it really is. And all the rest of those souls in Northern Ireland, whenever the Lord comes back, they're all going to end up in hell in the lake of fire. And if there's only 1% of souls saved in the entire world, which I don't think it is, and there's 7.5 or 8 billion, there's only going to be, what, 7 or 8 million, is that right? Souls. That's 1,000, about 70 million souls in the endless ages of eternity from our current generation. And that means there's going to be nearly 7.75 billion souls go into a Christless eternity just from this generation. And that is the greatest death toll for any war that has ever taken place in the whole history of man. And most people aren't even aware that that war is going on, and that those are the final consequences for rejecting Jesus Christ. As we read on here, in verse number 4 at the very end, it says, we can pretty much do whatever we want because they said, he shall not see our last end. In other words, God is not, people think that God is not going to be their final judge, but he is. You can think whatever you like, and you can believe whatever you like, but if it's not true, you're deluded or you're believing a lie. Take your pick. Either way, you're wrong. And people would do well. Goodness, of all of the societies in the face of this world, Christian-based societies are the ones where people have the most freedoms, where there is the most innovation, where is the most care, and foreign aid sent to other countries comes from Christian countries. There has to be something to be said about that. Why would people in other countries that hate our countries then want our country turned into another version of their country? For example, Muslim countries. Why would they want that? Makes no sense whatsoever. Anyway, we're going to come back to verse number 5, where it says that if you're having a tricky time whenever we're having an easy time, how are you going to manage whenever there's difficult times? But we'll speak about that very shortly. As we read on here, we see about Jeremiah even talking about families turning against him. And we know that from the New Testament, because the Lord even said that a man's foes will be they of his own household. And it is quite interesting to see how entrenched people are in their own beliefs and refuse to even consider another belief. And if you have another belief, you're an enemy straight away. It's interesting to note that it's almost like a little switch has been flicked, even in our own hearts and minds, where we would be quite content to visit consequences upon people that differ with us. The Word of God says the Lord is going to chasten his people, even to the death of many. And this is the goodness. This is the warning of God to people down through the ages. He says, and we mentioned it earlier again, if you put as much effort into praising me and worshipping me and coming to church as you did into worshipping your devils and false gods, my goodness, the world would be a much better place. Your life would be much better. But as it is, I will be against you. Now, I don't know about you, but it's tricky enough whenever you're on your own in a crowd. But imagine, no matter where you go, the sword of God being raised against you. That is, no matter what you put your hand to, it will feel. No matter, the Lord even said, it talks about the wicked having plenty to eat and so on and so forth. But if they don't turn to God, everything is going to fail around them. Their crops, their families, everything. And we do know from looking at this and from reading the rest of the Old Testament that things did go very badly wrong for the children of Israel. And they went into captivity for a couple of generations. But let's have a look at verse number 5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Like I said, I think the Lord was working on me. He introduced it to me in the fridge that I walked past every day for the past month. And then I came across it in my devotion. So I think the Lord was working on me. And I got to thinking about the difficult times that God's people have had down through the ages. When they have been running against horses. And whenever there has been a swelling of the Jordan. I got to thinking about Noah. For over 100 years, Noah was pretty much the only man that believed in God in the whole population of the world. His sons, they obeyed their father and honored their father, and they were saved from the flood along with their wives, and there was no mention of any children. But for 100 years, he preached and he taught and he warned of judgment to come with every piece of wood that was laid one against another, with every nail or whatever it was they used to assemble the ark. For 100 years. For 100 years, people laughed and mocked at him, building this huge boat in the middle of a field. And it wasn't until the very end that, I am sure that would be, you and I don't like getting names called us now and then. We can laugh it off, but if every time you met somebody else, they were having a snigger at you, or they were laughing at you, or pointing their finger at you when you were out in the street, that would start to wear thin really, really quickly. Noah was of the mind that he wasn't there to judge people, he was there to save people. And he built the ark. We all know the story, how the animals went into the ark, and how Noah and his family went into the ark, and for 3 days the door stood open until God himself closed the door. We think onwards too about Lot. Do you remember Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah? And the two angels came down and lodged with him and said, look, we need to go. This place is going to be judged. And Lot, he went and said, and the angels told him, get your family and get out. And Lot went out to his boys or his girls that were married and living apart from him. But he seemed to be as one that was mocking them, taking a hand out of them. This town has stood for decades, for hundreds of years. God's not going to judge it. This is the way things have always been. and yet in all God's judgment came. You do remember the treatment of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who sent one angel and killed not just 180,000, I think it was 185,000 men of war in one night. And after his awful treatment, and well, not even after it, but at the start of it, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels right now. Could form a line and march from one end of the world to the other and kill every living being on it. But I'm not here to judge and to condemn. I'm here to save, he said. Think about the treatment of his disciples. Peter was executed. John was exiled. Stephen, one sermon, and he was stoned to death. And we all know how the disciples were treated down through the years. Even the followers of God, I think, was it Nero that used to tie them to stakes and light them on fire to light his garden as he rode through on a chariot? They were thrown to the animals and thrown in to fight against trained killers. We know the treatment that Christians have had. And there's I was going to say there's a relatively modern publication in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which details, even in the last 300, 400, 500 years, the treatment that Bible believers have had, mostly, sadly, from the Roman Catholic Church. Stretched on the rack, thumb screws, the boot, the Iron Maiden. A lot of these things were used to make Christians recant of their faith in God Almighty. As we come to a bit more modern times, we know not every Jew is saved, but they are still our God's people. And 6 million of them were sent to the ovens and to the machine guns. And we know from looking out that the foundation for a great persecution is being laid right now for the Jews and for the Christians. And here we are in 2021. We're a year into lockdowns and quarantines, and a lot of Christians are having really hard times. We're made to stay in our centrally heated, weatherproofed, dry, air-conditioned homes with their water and their septic systems. We have our landlines, we have our mobiles, we have our internet, our online shopping, our Amazon and our eBay, our cable and our satellite TV and video games. And we're made to stay at home. We're made to stay there in the lap of luxury. And in many cases, we're able even to work from home. We're allowed to go for a walk, the government says. We are suffering so hard for Jesus. We have no hostile foreign power with their boot on our neck. We can't make us carry their packs for a mile or two or give you a hiding just because you look at them wrong. Although we're getting there. There is no shortage of food or water or clothing, but we are a little bit light on company, are we not? I would just like to remind you that the Christian, every Christian has a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is that promise from God Almighty. And that opportunity to spend more time in the presence of God. But who has taken it? Which of our brothers and sisters in Christ have become better brothers and sisters in Christ because they have been restricted in their otherwise worldly activities and have been made to stay at home, and they sit with a Bible beside them and look at it through the side of their eyes with gritted teeth, as if it's a snake about to jump out and bite them if they move towards it? I know a lot of people are having difficult times. And I know people and families that have suffered because of the great restrictions. But if you cast your mind back, if you can even think that far back, before there were automatic washing machines, before there were microwaves and kettles and gas cookers and what else do we have? Irons and ironing boards and even central heating. They said that the inclusion of these things in your life would make for a better life. You can press a button on the central heating and it saves you 15 or 20 minutes setting a fire and carrying in fuel. You can put your whatever water it is you want boiled into a kettle and it's ready in 2 or 3 minutes instead of waiting for the big iron cast iron kettle to boil on top of the stove. You can put your clothes into the automatic washing machine and press a button, and for the next hour that'll spin around, it'll heat up, it'll cool it down, it'll even spin dry it for you, so you don't even have to take a basket of washing out to a line. You just lift it from one machine and put it from the automatic washing machine and put it into the tumble dryer. That's all done for you. And for all that time that has been saved with that, with electric power tools, with cars that get us to wherever it is that we want to go in an instant, with microwaves that can heat a meal in 2 or 3 minutes that would take a wife and a mother of generations ago maybe an hour or more to prepare, how come it is that our lives are not so much better? With our convenience, with the release of so much of that time, why are we not better people? Why have we not taken the time to learn more about ourselves? To learn where it is that we stand in the grand scheme of things and to turn our faces a bit more resolutely towards God? Some people might say that, and I'm guilty of that for the past year. I'll use this time to catch up on some TV series that maybe I have recorded. Or catch up on a hobby, or do a bit of keep fit, or do some DIY around the house. But all of these things, making these little things, the major things, does not give you a satisfying life. In fact, they soon wear very thin on you. Without Jesus Christ to add life, these things are not worth it. They mean nothing in the long run. In fact, with the Lord, I was just listening. Did anybody? I like that pick of the song, "The Shelter in the Time of Storm." I think that was quite apt this morning, because I think we've heard the rain battering off the roof and the walls. But with Jesus Christ in your life and a raincoat, you could walk for a couple of miles up and down whatever road in this country and still be joyful with the rain lashing against you, with the tips of your fingers that cold that you can barely feel them. But you can walk in that with Jesus Christ as your Savior and be joyful in a way that a lost man walks on a beautiful tropical beach with the sand and the clear water and palm trees and coconuts, and he's walking in his sandals with a t-shirt and the sun is just like a warm blanket. And his vitamin D is going through the roof. He's wearing his sunglasses. Do you know what? That doesn't make a person joyful. It might amuse for a little while, but it doesn't bring the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. The question really is, are we ready? Were we ready to meet this quarantine? This lockdown, this restriction that so many have accepted, in quotes, temporarily, but that temporarily keeps getting longer and longer. Have we been ready? Maybe we weren't whenever it started, but did we take the time aside from the world to make ourselves more ready? How do we do that, Pastor? Well, it's funny you should say that. Perhaps one of the greatest examples on how to get a grip of yourself and to get yourself right with God is in Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. where the Lord said to John to pass on to the churches, he says, you've left your first love. You're going through the motions, but you never get down and real with God anymore. You skip through a chapter of Bible reading every day. You have a quick shopping list, a short shopping list of prayer requests for God every day, but you never take time with God. And it's time to get back to that. It's time to ask what God likes. It's time to discover what makes God happy, the same way that you would a loved one. What makes them happy, what we treat could make their lives easier, so on and so forth. I know it sounds stupid, but my dad used to say, I want you to do those dishes so that you please me. Don't just do them to get them done, do them to please me. And one of the things that he always insisted on doing was lifting up the drying rack and wiping the drips of water away underneath it. And my wife likes that too. And every time I do the dishes, well, these past 3 or 4 days, I make sure and lift up the drying rack and wipe the water away underneath, because I know she will see it. She doesn't go looking for it like an army sergeant major checking for dust on the top of door jams or anything like that. But she'll see it. And if it's not there, it'll make her happy. Have we done that for God? What makes God happy? What pleases God? There's two things that please God. The saving of souls and the edifying of souls. And you know what? If coming to church is where you get your edification, that's good. Come to church. Come to church more often. But if sitting down studying the Word of God with the pen and paper and asking God to open your understanding of the Word of God is what edifies your souls, well, get to that. We need to get back to our first love. We need to read our Bibles. Has anybody here ever found a way to make a stove or a fireplace? How to make them warm without throwing fuel on them? Can you sit there and look at it, give it a stern stare, and the fire will suddenly get warm? That might be more along Mrs. Bradfield's laser vision eyes at the moment, but has anybody figured out how to warm a fire, how to create heat in the house without burning fuel? Has anybody figured that out? Well, it's exactly the same for the Christian. We are not going to burn brightly for Jesus unless we fuel up, and that fuel is found in all of the things that we do as a Christian. In prayer. And I'm not talking about a shopping list. I'm talking about talking to God as a man talks to his friend face to face, because we have been given that through Jesus Christ to enter boldly into the holiest of holies, the very presence of God. We have been given that, Christian. We should use that. We have been told to hide his word in our hearts. Whether that's memorizing it, whether that's remembering a story, whether that's remembering a miracle or something God used somebody to do, we are commanded to remember the Word of God. We need that. That's our fuel. We have the prophecy of the Old Testament. I was just writing down a couple of notes, and I love to see the Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled in the New Testament. But you know what I love even more than that? Is seeing New Testament prophecy being fulfilled on TV. That's just cool for me. We are supposed to be aware of these things. We are supposed to sing God's praises. We are supposed to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We are supposed to tithe. We are supposed to fellowship. We're supposed to keep each other company and let them know that we're praying for them, thinking of them, have something for them, or need them for something that only they can do. We're supposed to do all of these things. And on top of that, we're supposed to tell the strangers in the streets about Jesus. Because Jesus said that. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to trust God. Did you know that? Are we trusting God here today? Have we trusted God for our salvation? You're not trusting in being good or doing the best that you can. I trust, I pray that you're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not looking for an answer, but I'm assuming that that is the case. But have you ever trusted God to put the words in your mouth because you have it in your heart, a desire and a purpose to tell someone you know or a complete stranger about Jesus? Have you trusted him to do that? There is not one of us in this church that hasn't sat through hundreds of messages preached by myself and Christy and Stan in this pulpit, even in the last 5 years. Let's work it out. 1 year is 52 weeks, and each week has at least three services. So that's 156 services, generally speaking, in a year. We'll cut that to 150 because of working in numbers. 5 years is 750 services. 20 years is 3,000 services. And anything in between is still a lot of time in God's house listening to messages. Now, I'm not going to ask anyone what did we preach on in June of last year. I'm not going to do that because I can barely even remember what I preached last week. But I do know there are little bits of it here and there that will stick in our minds, but we need to make a point of making sure that they stay there. Whenever I take my glasses off, I'm winging it. I hope you know that. And I am trusting in the Lord to put the words in my mouth because he said he would. Have you trusted him to do that? Have you trusted him to put you across the path of someone that needs you? Are you prepared to be needed? To roll your sleeves up and to get dirt under your fingernails? Is that you? Are you prepared to trust in the Lord to make up the time and the effort and money that will be spent that you spend pursuing souls? Have you told God everything? He says we should. Don't be worrying. He says, tell him about everything and you'll get a bit of peace in your heart and mind. Get to church. I know we have those two old ads at the top left of the notice board back there. And they were put there by us as a church. Too much to pay for one man. It would have been maybe financially devastating for any one of us to reach in the £500 or £600, I think it was, each time to get them done. But for a whole bunch of folks in the church, it's not. And the whole of Derry got that twice. Maybe it's something to look at again. We need to be together. There was a wee verse that I was looking for, and I had to do a lot of searching for. It's in Ecclesiastes 4. And it says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And otherwise, whenever we are of one mind pointed in the one direction, it will be amazing what we can accomplish. I know we all tell God what we want, but have we ever actually asked God what he wants? That's what we should do. Apologize to him for doing wrong. And to others too. And accept chastening, if it's coming our way, from a father that loves us and needs us to learn a lesson the hard way, because we wouldn't learn it the easy way. And this now is the time to do this. Right now. If there is a thing to be done in your Christian life, you're better doing it now and not putting it off and not leaving it. If God brings something to your attention, it's because you have a weakness there, or you have a need there, or you have the ability to help somebody else with a weakness or a need. Does anyone remember the wee verse of scripture that says, now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation? Well, now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. It's the time to discipline ourselves. The Bible talks about us being soldiers and not getting mixed up in the affairs of the world when we're called to combat. Now is the time to pursue the company of God when the company of so many others has left a huge gap in our lives. And now is the time to grow in boldness and knowledge and grace and strength and wisdom and purpose and in the power of God. Because even though the Word of God says we will get back to a life, and it does say that, it does say we'll get back to buying and selling, to giving in marriage and taking in marriage. It doesn't say whether it will be the old normal or the new normal. Regardless, hard times are coming. The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. We need to be more and more ready. It is amazing what you can do without when you have your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is a bit of a, it's not a cheery, uplifting service just yet. And we're going to stay in that for just another moment or two. I want to remind you that hard times are coming. That you are going to be put on the spotlight. You're going to be asked to go out for a drink with mates, and you're going to have to say, no, I've stopped drinking. The Bible says it's a mug's game, it's a fool's errand, and I'm staying away from it. But if you want to go out for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, I'm game. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to say to all of our mates, let's go out and get ourselves a wee boy or a wee girl and chat them up and spend the night in their beds? Are we prepared to say, look, a strange woman or a strange man's like a deep ditch, and all you're doing is asking for bother by getting mixed up with them? Are we prepared to do that? Are you strong enough to do that? Are you prepared to deport yourself properly, your dress, your language, your behavior, the places that you go? Are you prepared to be a Christian or just to fit in with the crowd? Are you going to laugh at the filthy and the profane jokes that take the Lord's name in vain to fit in with the crowd? Are you going to say, look, I don't need that. I can certainly do without that. I got saved to be taken for that to be taken away from me. Definitely don't need it. Are we prepared to do that? Is your strength and your peace and your happiness found in the things of this world that can be whipped away just like that? Or are they found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who keeps you in the palm of his hand, and nothing and nobody, not even our own stupid behavior, can take that away? If we are finding it difficult to live for Christ in these Butlins holiday days that we have in Northern Ireland and the UK right now, how are we going to manage when things get really bad? Solution is the call for the Lord, even as a Christian. How many people have gotten saved, just wandered away? And genuinely saved. Their name's written in the Lamb Book of Life, and they got over the wee honeymoon period, and they wandered away. Their attention was taken by something, and they just wandered away from God. How many? It's time to throw your lot in with the Lord. It's time to tell him we're sorry for not doing it a bit sooner, and we're here now, let's get up and let's get going. It's time for us to remember that the things that the world, the flesh and the devil might take away from us, or we might have to give up, that God has something for us that's hundreds of times better. But most importantly, it is time for us to remember why the book of God, the Word of God, is actually here. And I have quotes from three different portions of the Bible, two from John, one from 1 Thessalonians. John 13:19. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. John 14:29. And now I have told you before it has come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. 1 Thessalonians 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. In other words, to be ready when it happens. That's why all of these things are here. That's why God's direction is in the Word of God, so that we can be ready. Ready to meet opposition, ready to meet death, whether personally or as it just brushes past us in the life of another. Ready to meet disaster, so that we can be ready. I know there's a lot of, you have heard of preppers. You might even point a finger at me and accuse me of being one. I do have some stuff at the house for various situations. Why is that? In case something bad happens. I've had to use the generator once or twice. And I've had to use a few other things from time to time. Thankfully, nothing major. But we're ready. We're ready physically. But are we ready spiritually? When we get our lives right with God, when we look to the good news instead of the TV news, when we put our faith in the things that God has delivered and keeps delivering to us instead of in the words of goodness, our politicians and leaders who are nothing really but liars and thieves and clowns and in some case murderers, then you'll be ready. But until then, all that we are is like a wave buffeted about by the winds and the tides, here and there, never knowing from one day to the next what we're doing or which direction we're going. And I would urge you, all friends, I know you're saved, I know your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, at least I trust they are, and if they're not, today's the day to tell God you're sorry for your sins and ask him to save your soul and your life. We know we're going to heaven. We know our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know all of these things, but we need to take advantage of them and be the Christian, be the child of the King of Kings that God would have us to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a wee piece of scripture that says about, in a great house there are many vessels. Some of wood, some of clay, some of gold and silver. Some to honour and some to dishonour, and it doesn't say which one's which. The next verse does, however, it says, if a man will purge himself of these sins that it's talking about a verse or two previously, it says, he will become a vessel unto honour, fit for the master's use. And that's what we want. That's what we want. I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to labour that point anymore. Thank you for your good time and attention. And God bless you. Has anyone got a suggestion for a closing hymn? This is Bradfield. Number 81. You're throwing me a curveball. Could you not have called 81 for Christy when he's up in the evening?
I'm saving another.
Yep, we've got that one. Hymn number 81, let's stand as we sing When We See Christ.
Catches bright away all tears fall. such trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark, with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Watch over us as we go our separate ways. See us safely home and back at the next appointed time. Bless each one of us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us portions of wisdom and boldness. And let us remember the days are short. Love you and thank you. Pray for ourselves, for our sister churches, for believers across the world and the preachers of the gospel. For divine provision and, Lord, for healing, for comforting. Lord, just please provide our needs. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.